Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did so, that did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruits of his loin, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. And that was the sermon, perhaps condensed. You know, we don't know. We don't know all the words Jesus spoke. The Bible says he spoke much more than you even know about. Same thing could be true here, that there was more said. But it doesn't matter. The fact is, the aftermath of this giving of the gospel was 3,000 people. Praise God. 3,000 people. Hallelujah. And we have, quite frankly, we have no idea who we are affecting. I mean, we know that, you know, there's a few of us here right now. But what we don't know is how much effect we have as we go and live the life of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, he's the power of God to live for God. All right? And we have no idea what people are being affected and how many. The same thing is true when it comes to the outreach that we have, and we send things out and so forth, and newsletters, and we have no idea. You know, we can't make any bold claims or anything, really, but, you know, God's in control. And if he can have 3,000 people be saved in these few verses, praise the name of Jesus, he can do it again today. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Have I stayed too long at the fair? Father, I want to come before you and be very thankful, dear God, that you are the one in control. You are the one, Lord, who leads the way. And you are the one, dear God, that shows how it all connects and how it all fits together. And I think there are times when we're perhaps more amazed at it than other times, but Lord, I think this ought to be one of the times, Lord, that we are just unbelievably amazed at what you can speak and what you can do in a matter of a few verses. Praise the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have I stayed too long at the fair is the question that is presented in a song that became quite popular through the decades. Once again, it was about going to the fair and staying there. And perhaps too long and be too influenced by it. Turns out this particular song I'm talking about was composed by a fellow by the name of Billy Barnes. It was recorded, I believe, by Patti Page in 1956. It was also recorded by Rosemary Clooney, who happened to have been George Clooney's mom. I don't know if any of you knew that, but you hear about George Clooney all the time nowadays. Well, that was his mom, Rosemary Clooney, and she was a singer. And then also Barbara Streisand recorded it in 1963. It's about staying too long seeking a pleasurable life instead of a meaningful one. Okay? Have I stayed too long at the fair? Now, there's another song, which was what I was really thinking about, that had to do with this as well, but I tried looking it up, and it's like I couldn't make a connection. So we're going to do it with this. All right? Have I stayed too long at the fair? And I thought it was rather ironic that all of a sudden yesterday, I recognized and I noticed, because I saw signs and so forth, and banners and billboards and everything else, that tomorrow starts the carnival in Worthington, you know, and if there was ever a fair with a midway and all the trappings and, you know, so forth, you know, it would be that. And here it is coming up tomorrow even. Tomorrow night starts it. Now, I'm not, you know, trying to be derogatory or anything, but I just thought it was rather, in other words, I didn't plan it. It's not like, oh, I can't wait till the Sunday before the fair and then I can, you know, use this title or use this sermon. It's not that. This was already given, I believe, by the Lord. Turns out that it's the day before that there is this fair. And you know as well as I do, there's a lot of junk that goes on. There's a lot of immorality that goes on at the fair with, you know, not just teenagers, but adults even, with their cars and so forth. You know, it's a known fact. But there's a lot more to it than just the not desiring the immorality. There's a place of you get so liking of this easy place and this simple place that we don't want anything serious after that. It's precisely why it's one thing about it, that there are a lot of people that don't want to hear, you know, anything about Jesus. You know, I mean, you know, this place could be filled. All kinds of people, all from all over the place. They're not a lot of people anymore that really want to hear about the Lord. All right? But that doesn't stop us. We continue to share who he is, what he came to do, and how he's intending to touch lives. Okay? And praise the name of Jesus for all of it. There's an old song that asks the musical question, and I've already stated the title, Have I Stayed Too Long at the Fair? And the idea is that life is losing its luster, perhaps because we've overstayed our welcome, or we are expecting things that have failed in the past to deliver on something. It is a song, someone older who is looking back on his youth, or her youth with disappointment. I wanted to live in a carnival city with laughter and love everywhere. I wanted my friends to be charming and witty. I wanted someone to care. I found my blue ribbons all shiny and new. These are quotes coming out of there. And now I've discovered them no longer blue. The merry-go-round is beginning to taunt me. Have I stayed too long at the fair? There's nothing to win and no one to want me. Have I stayed too long at the fair? Now, if we buy in to this world's system of priorities and, you know, fun, and gotta run over to the fair every night this week, you know, and so forth. The only reason you'll see me over there is it's the only way I support the fire department when I get their chicken dinners, okay? And because it does go to the firemen. But anyway, if we buy into the world system of priorities, eventually everything we've chased is going to disappoint us. Unless we are living for God in Christ, we will reach old age and say, it's all meaningless. I've stayed too long at the fair. And you know this happened to Solomon. Is that me? Ruth Ann, would you do me a favor? Would you run this back to my bag in the last thing and close, just shut the door on the bag? Thank you. One time I bring my car, I could have left it in the car. You know, when Joel or Chris brings me, it's hard to know what I should do with it. Learn how to turn it off is what, you know, we need to do. But, yeah, I don't think you'll hear that because it was must be turned way down. Well, we'll see. Anyway, Solomon had to deal with this. He cut to the chase and said, I've had it all, and none of it amounted to too much. He pursued love and riches and knowledge and religion and power, and he attained a measure of success in all of them, but nothing satisfied. Nothing satisfied. For too many of us could say with Solomon, I've stayed too long at the fair. I've just not taken life seriously. I was just looking for everything to be a big joke. Maybe you've bought into the world system. I mean, and maybe at one time you did, and you knew what a disaster that was. And all you have to show for your efforts today are depression, despondency, broken relationships, and broken dreams. But for the man or woman who has spent lifetime pursuing Jesus Christ, every day is sweeter than the day before. The pastor that shares this illustration has a friend. Her name is Jane Elder, E-L-D-E-R, who pursued Jesus for 90 years of her life. And she never sang, I've stayed too long at the fair. Jane's favorite song was, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. So, you know, what about us? You know, what about you? What about me? What about anybody else? Which song would you rather sing in the twilight of life? Amen? And I'm sure in the twilight of life, all of us really ought to be looking back and seeing the places where we could have been more serious about him, more on fire for him. But, you know, you can't go back and redo all of that. So what you do from this moment on is be more serious about Jesus and be more, you know, given to him. And so forth. You know, that's going to be the key. There's no do-overs. You can't go back and, you know, I mean, you can repent, and that's how you repent. You change. Amen? And now you're more serious about the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I dare say everyone here is more serious about Jesus than you used to be. I don't think that's too far-fetched of a statement to make. All right, now let's follow this through. Okay, let's follow this through. And this is kind of interesting because he's doing the same thing in his sermon. Peter is, And I didn't recognize that. I'm not doing this because that's what he did, okay? But I'm seeing a connection. Watch this. Centuries before the song, okay? Centuries before the song, okay? Pilgrim's Progress author John Bunyan wrote of a fair called Vanity Fair. Vanity meaning basically worthless. Okay, Vanity Fair. And it presents a very similar picture where you know, got to get to the fair. You should see. I mean, I sit there on the corner and I see all these people just rushing to get over there. And they're parked all up and down all the side streets. And you just, we got to get over there. Get on the rides and do this and do that and so forth. Yeah, but okay. But are you taking Jesus anywhere near that seriously? You know, I want to kind of ask people that, but I don't dare, I guess. But anyway, but John Bunyan wrote about that in Pilgrim's Progress, remember? It was called Vanity Fair, similar picture. Now, centuries before that, now see what I'm doing with this. I'm doing the same thing Peter was doing, because Peter went back and talked about David. And David said this, and David did that, and it's a very similar picture that we're painting, okay? Centuries before that now, the Bible spoke of somebody called Jesus. Amen? Take a look at Acts chapter 2 and begin with verse 22, okay? Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, here he goes, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So I'm not telling you anything new. You know that's who he was. Amen? Of course, the people he's talking to, they know that. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. As much as you knew who he really was, you did him in. All right? Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Okay? He's not going to be kept down. Far more important than, obviously, Jesus is far more important than carnivals, than fairs, than, you know, Vanity Fair. And I mean, everything is a picture of that. And in the Bible, where he goes back to David, and, you know, where I foresaw the Lord always before my face, verse 25, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Not be moved. All right, I'm digging into the next section here, but I'll hold back because I want to look at this together. Centuries now, before that, we're talking Jesus and what he did and what he said. Centuries before that. Do you see all the time periods I'm talking about? Centuries before this, centuries before that, and centuries now before Jesus. There was a fellow by the name of David, King David, and he spoke of the same thing. Look at verse 25 and following. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I took it seriously. I was watching him and so forth. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Referring to Jesus, of course, he's not going to decay. Yes, he went to a grave, but he didn't stay. Amen? He didn't stay. Praise God. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast, how far do I want to go? Okay, one more verse. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Praise God. Everybody has their own way of not only seeing satisfaction, but seeking satisfaction. Could be good, could be bad. Depends what you pick, okay? So, you know, which seeking of satisfaction is going to work? and recognizing, of course, that the others will not. Let me show you what I'm talking about. And you're all old enough to remember this, so it's not like I'm talking to the kids now. All right? It was back in 69, I believe, the summer of 69. Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones spoke of for a generation when they sang, "I can't get no satisfaction." You know what I'm talking about, okay? I can't get no, you know what I'm talking about. Unbelievably popular. Everybody was going around singing it. I remember I was a teenager at the time. That was my year to graduate from high school, actually. We were camping, and everybody was going around with transistor radios. Now, you know what I'm talking about, okay? They're about this tall, about this wide, and about maybe that fat. They had a 9-volt battery in them, and you could tune it to the station that you wanted. It didn't have a tape player in it. That came much later, okay? It just was a radio, transistor radio. And it would play the various stations you set it on. Well, everybody in the Detroit area was on CKLW, okay? I mean, you know, anybody that was anybody that was, you know, young, certainly, was on CKLW. So you're walking around the campground, and you're hearing this song everywhere. I can't get no, da-da-da, you know, so forth. No other voices, no other stations. It was just, because that's what everybody listened to, was CKLW, you know, AM. It was, that's probably the station that Robin Seymour was on. He was a disc jockey. Bum, 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 everybody's heard about the word. I said the word, word, word. The bird is the word. Bum, 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 everybody's heard. And that was his theme song. And he played it ad nauseum, you know, till you were sick of it. And his name was Robin, so he's the bird. Bum, 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 everybody's heard about the bird, you know. Well, and so everything was this. And you walk around the campground, and you got your transistor radio up here. Of course, you got it turned up as high as it'll go, but you still put it by your ear, okay? And then you're listening to I Can't Get No, and they played that, what, every other song? Every fifth song? I don't know. It was on a lot. Very, very popular. The Rolling Stones. I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I believe the year was 69. Anyway, so that music was playing everywhere. A lot of people tried to find their satisfaction in a whole lot of other different things, and we probably all did. But there we were, that summer, strutting around the beach in the campground with our transistor radios tuned way up, okay, right there on our shoulders, in our ears, and, you know, and everybody had to listen to it, you know. Can't get no satisfaction, all right? Now, that was years before the boom boxes. The boom boxes was a big transistor radio. You could put tapes in it and so forth. You remember what I'm talking about. They're about, maybe about like that big. And everybody went around with them up on their with those up on the shoulders, like this, okay? And it was probably different songs because it was a different day. But it was all about what we can get, what satisfies us, okay? That's the key thing. And then it went the other way again. It went to Walkmans, which was a little thing. And I think the Walkman, did you put a CD in that? No, that was still a tape player?
A cassette.
A cassette. Yeah, and then they came out with the CD. And, you know, but you had to be careful. You couldn't go bouncing around because it would make the CD skip, okay? So you don't get much satisfaction that way. So you had to be more careful, I suppose. That was probably all part of the plan, all right? But I'm telling you, that summer, everything was playing CKLW. Do you see what all that comes down to? Take a look at Acts chapter 2 and beginning with the 29th verse, okay? Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, all right? That he is both dead and buried. He's no longer around people, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He's buried, he's done. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, out of his body, basically, okay, God was going to raise up the Christ of God, to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. It's all coming down to the resurrection. Praise God. If there's one thing that God is expecting to satisfy everybody's need, it's Jesus and his resurrection. Amen? Right? That his soul was not left in hell. He didn't rot, not even a little. Neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. We've seen it. We've seen it. We say he's alive. You can bet. You better believe he's alive. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and it's God who raised him from the dead, praise the Lord, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, praise God, here we go, Pentecost, right? Received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth his, or this, with which ye now see and hear. Praise God. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, you don't even have to guess at this. This is fact, that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified. You did it, guys. You crucified him, but God made him Lord in Christ. Glory be to God. Amen? God made him Lord and Christ. You see, that's what it all comes down to. Peter was pointing to David, and David was pointing to Jesus, and Jesus was pointing to his own resurrection. We've got to be very careful in all of this that we don't lose ground, because a lot of ground is hard to get back. A little bit of ground, maybe you can get that back. Maybe you can get it halfway back. But you go and just don't pay attention to the seriousness of who Jesus is, that you can go quite a ways from where you were supposed to be. And it's not that, physically speaking, it's not that easy to get back to that. Spiritually speaking, it is, because it's a matter of repentance. Come back to the Lord. Come back to Jesus. Lord, I want to be serious about you. Praise the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Now, have you noticed that it can take, and I'll close with this, it can take, 30 minutes or less to get outside the will of God. We've probably all noticed that. It can take 30 minutes or less to get outside of the will of God, and 30 years or more to get back to the place where you were before sin invaded. When we lose spiritual ground, when we retreat before the enemy, when we revert to our old ways, it is tough to get back, and impossible, actually, without repentance. Praise the Lord. We may confess, we may make restitution, we might start all over again with a clean slate, but somehow we don't feel the presence of God like we did before. Joshua, I think, experienced this, and I'll just give you this and we'll be done. He led Israel in a great victory at Jericho. Remember? Walls came tumbling down. Then God's people suffered a crushing defeat at Ai. Why? Because they didn't take it seriously. They didn't. They thought, hey, look at what happened at Jericho. Look at how it all went our way. Let's just go in there with a few hundred men and we'll do this and we'll do that. And they didn't take it seriously. And when the sin at the root of that defeat was exposed, namely Achan burying all that stuff in his tent and so forth, Joshua dealt with it. Then he humbly received instructions on how to win back the city he had just lost. It was nothing like the way he won Jericho. Because, you know, I think he probably expected every battle to be exactly the same. And I think sometimes we can fall into that trap too. We think every battle's going to be the same. So if we just learn how to handle that battle, we'll know how to handle that battle. And that's not real biblical. Joshua learned that following a holy, awesome, powerful God is not a cookie cutter proposition. One day is not like the very next one. One victory does not become the prescription for all victories. Not only did God have a plan for the recapture of Israel's lost ground, he had a word of tender encouragement for his defeated leader, Joshua. Do not fear or be dismayed. That's what he told him. That's what he told Joshua. Defeat is no cause for fear, and it's no cause for depression. We will experience defeat in Christian life. It's just bound to happen in one form or another, one level or another, but it is not a permanent condition. Because when you recognize it, you come running back to Jesus, you come running back to God, and it only gives you a temporary setback. Even when a Christian loses the battle, his God, praise the Lord, has already won the war. Amen? There are going to be battles along the way, and sometimes maybe they don't go exactly the way you wanted them to, probably because you need to listen more carefully to how God said how to deal with it. But still, you're talking about a whole war here, not just a battle. May lose a battle, or two, or three, but God wins the war. It's not a game at a carnival, you know. You don't go down until you see all the things up on the shelving unit, you know, and then you take the balls or the darts or whatever and you throw at them. And you know, listen, can I tell you Satan thinks he's got everything rigged to mess you up? Thinks he's got it all rigged. And that's the way they are, of course. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can get shafted on at the carnival. You know, you're just trying to throw a ball into the vase, into the neck of a vase, but the ball is this big and the vase is this big. You don't know that, okay? Unless you realize that's the kind of stuff they do. Praise the Lord. You and I have, and we did, crucified Jesus. Our sin has crucified him. But it was Almighty God who made our Jesus both Lord and Christ. That's what it said right there. He made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. So I think it's a good idea if we just spend the rest of our time in the center of his lordship, in that golden center of his flower. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus, because that's where he can really speak to us and show us the direction he wants us to be taking all of the time. And it doesn't mean you're not never going to foul up or make a mistake or anything like that, but praise God, he can get you to turn around from it. Amen. He can get you to turn around from it. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this truth here that is before us. We love you, Lord, and we need your presence, and we are so thankful, dear God, that you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. And basically what it all comes down to is you want us to take you more seriously. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray all of this, dear God, and your name is exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.